A wrist injury has slowed down Seiya Suzuki, and the Ghost Fork has been invisible to opposition hitters. All this today and much, much more on the Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
The Chicago Cubs were dealt an injury blow this week as Seiya Suzuki is going to be out for a little bit of time as he has himself a wrist injury. Suzuki right now is day-to-day, has not officially been placed on the injured list, which would mean he'd have to be out 10 days, and it would be retroactive from the time that the injury has occurred. But Suzuki now appearing in 17 games this year, and his 65 at-bats, he is batting .292 with 4 homers and 11 RBIs, and has been an important part of the Cubs' rise in the National League Central. Suzuki also getting used to the designated hitter role, as that has been his spot so far for this year, with Tucker, Crow Armstrong, and Happ holding down outfield positions in the Windy City. So Suzuki, a little bit right now, going to put the Cubs behind the eight ball, as they are going to have a chance to try to replace him. It looks like it's going to be Carson Kelly who will probably take over for Suzuki. And the reason for that is that Kelly is off to an explosive start with the Cubs batting at north of .400. So hopefully he can hold the Cubs instead in the DH position until Suzuki's able to return. Anything that's longer may require an extended stay on the injured list. Our next look is that of Shohei Ohtani. He has cooled off a little bit. Ohtani, in his 17 games played, he is batting only .273 in 66 at-bats. He does have 6 extra base hits in his 18 this year. 4 of those have been home runs and 5 runs driven in. He has walked 11 times and struck out 18. But as Ohtani goes, so go the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have stumbled a little bit, or I should say maybe scuffled a little bit lately, as they are looking up at the San Diego Padres in the top spot, and they're neck and neck with the San Francisco Giants for second in the West. That is turning into being one of the best divisions in all of baseball, with the Arizona Diamondbacks in there as well. But don't fear, Ohtani will probably pick up the pace, as he does have Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts now back in the lineup. So Ohtani in that leadoff role, expect him to continue to produce over the next little bit, as it is a long season, and certainly the average here over the last week or so will pick up once we start getting into that warmer weather. We're going to move over to the pitching side, and we're going to take a look at Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda has frustrated the Tiger fan base, and right now he's kind of getting garbage innings to get his sea legs back, so to speak. He had a big contract in the offseason, or 2 seasons ago. It's the second year of a 2-year deal. And he is taking up a roster spot, and it couldn't go any worse getting off to a slow start for him, because the fan base, as we mentioned, a little bit angered. He's not in a starting role, as he lost out the starting position to Casey Mize and Jackson Jobe. He's appeared in 3 games for Detroit this year, working 3 2/3 innings. He's allowed 6 hits, 5 runs, all of which have been earned, walking 3 and striking out 4, but it's the 12.27 ERA. It should be alarming for everybody around. And Maeda, it looked like in spring training that maybe he would add some glimpses of his Cy Young type form, as he had almost 30 strikeouts in spring training. And unfortunately for Maeda, he has stumbled out of the gates. And you have to wonder where Scott Harris, the general manager of the Tigers, will have seen enough and where they will consider eating the contract to have a more productive reliever on the back end. So stay tuned on Maeda. Lots still to come, but he's going to have to sort himself out in a hurry here if he wants to keep a job with the Detroit Tigers. Next up on our list is that of the Baltimore Orioles. It is Tomoyuki Sugano. Sugano made his 3rd start on the weekend against the Toronto Blue Jays, and he couldn't get through all 5 innings. He, on the season, has worked 14 innings. He's allowed 17 hits, 6 runs, all of which have been earned. He's walked 5, struck out 5, and he's got an ERA of .386. He is 1-1 on the season. But things to note, you got to be careful. His opponents are hitting .304 against him. And he seems to be relying heavily on his splitter and his off-speed pitches. And he has not been as effective so far in the early going with those pitches. He's going to get a start at home this week versus the Guardians. He is on that $13 million one-year deal with options. And so we'll have to keep an eye on Sagano. Although one would expect the veteran and certainly the longtime Japanese star to settle in. He's not looking at a front-line role, but certainly as a complimentary three or a four in Baltimore should give him time to be able to sort himself out and be able to produce for the Orioles this year. Our next up, it is Yusei Kikuchi. And depending on who you listen to and depending on who you talk to, they have Blue Jay boards or Blue Jay banter boards, the fan boards, have been pointing to him saying he's off to a slow start. And some of his numbers would indicate that. He has had three starts on the year. He's worked 18 innings. He's given up 15 hits, 10 runs, all of which have been earned. He has walked 8 and struck out 16, but he's got an ERA of 5.0. With his 0-2 win-loss record, it is fortunate that he is kind of off the hook a bit because the Angels are off to a good start as a team. And certainly with them, it allows Kikuchi to be able to get his sea legs by the time he gets going. Maybe the rest of the team will start slumping. Who knows? Maybe he's going to be able to pick it up. But one positive is that he's gone at least 6 innings in each of those 3 starts. So keep your eyes on Kikuchi. One thing you also have to look at is when he was with the Blue Jays, he relied a lot on his off-speed stuff. He threw his two-seamer and his splitter. Once he moved over to the Astros, they really had him focus on throwing his four-seam fastball. And that was something that really was emphasized to him. His strikeout numbers right now are down below 1 per inning, and that is not Kikuchi-like. So we'll see how that fares as he goes and keep an eye on his pitch mix to see if that is going to change through the year. We're just going to take a little time out. We're going to be right back here as we're going to take a look at the Ghost Fork. And we'll be right back on the Last Routes Baseball YouTube channel. And you are listening to the Japan Baseball Report. We'll be right back in just a couple moments. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report brought to you by Last Routes Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Routes Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. The big talk in New York in the offseason was the signing of Juan Soto. But the return and the resurgence of Kodai Senga should get Mets fans exciting or get them excited. He is got in 3 starts this year. He's worked 17 innings. He's only allowed 12 hits, 4 runs, and 2 of which have been earned. He's been brilliant. He's walked 5 and struck out 16. He's got himself an ERA of 106. But the other part that's interesting is opponents are only hitting 200 against him. And so after this weekend's 7 shutout innings against the Athletics, where he only threw 79 pitches through those 7 innings, he has now completed a 13-inning scoreless streak for the Mets. He is expected to start against the St. Louis Cardinals later this week. So keep your eyes on Kodai Senga and see if he can keep the beat rolling as he will face the Redbirds. We next move over to the Padres. We've got one player that is playing and one player that is on the shelf. The one who is playing is Yuki Matsui. He's appeared in 6 ball games. He has worked 6 innings. None of them have been starts, of course. He's been mainly working out of the pen. In those 6 innings, he's allowed 3 hits, 1 run. It's been earned. He has walked 2, but he has struck out 12. Mainly used in middle relief, but he, with his strikeout totals being that he's got 2 per inning, that might lead him to higher leverage situations. Base on balls will still be a concern as he has walked 2 in the 6 innings. Last year in 2024, he had a 10.5% walk rate. And when we watched him with the Tohoku Rocket and Golden Eagles, one of his issues were his pitch economy. He would come out and he would sometimes throw 20 to 30 pitches just to get a save. That was always a little bit of an issue for Matsui. Matsui's also held opponents to a 136 batting average. They're not getting hard contact off of the left-hander. But as we said, keep an eye there because they may consider moving him into a little bit different role at the back of the bullpen. The other Padre who is currently on the injured list is Yu Darvish. It's been reported that he's now been long tossing up to 180 feet, but they feel he's approximately 3 weeks away from the injured list return as he had mild inflammation in the right elbow. So early May is possibly when it is, but with the Padres off to a 13-3 start with the best record in baseball, there's no real hurry in which to return Darvish. As we said, the Padres, unbelievably atop the top spot in the National League West, they're going to be entertaining the Chicago Cubs early this week. We'll see how they end up faring. If they can come into San Diego, or as the Cubs come into San Diego and the Padres can continue their winning ways against the Northsiders of Chicago. Our next up is the Los Angeles Dodgers, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto is getting it going now. He has four starts on the year. We're 22 innings. He's allowed 13 hits. He's walked seven and struck out 28, pitching to a 1.23 ERA. His last start versus the Cubs, he went six innings, allowing two hits, walking one and striking out six on 103 pitches. He did throw 64 strikes in that game. But a few things that were of note, he had 33 called strikes or swings and misses. So for him, being able to either get the swing and misses or having the pitches called, that tells you right there that the hitters are having difficulty picking up his pitches. There's a lot of talk about tunneling these days in Major League Baseball, and where it makes one pitch look like the other and a different pitch look like that. Or if you go back to the old school where Greg Maddux used to say, I want my balls to look like strikes and my strikes to look like balls. Now they use the word tunneling. Yamamoto certainly has been doing that as of late. His next expected start will be against the Texas Rangers this week, as the Dodgers will take on the former World Series champs from a couple of seasons ago in a matchup on the road. The other Dodger that we are taking a look at is Roky Sasaki. And with Roky Sasaki, he had his best start of his career last week against the Cubs. He ended up taking a loss in that one. It was a different game after he left, as the Cubs ended up laying the wood to the Dodgers. I think it was 18-0 off the top of my head. But he is, so far this year in four starts, only worked 13 2/3 innings. The big problem, or the alarming problem for the Dodgers, is his command and control. He has walked 13 batters in those 13 2/3 innings, and just way too many walks at the major league level. But he is difficult to hit. That is a plus forkball that he possesses, the fastball that he has, or plus pitches. But we were lamenting before on our streams that I really think in North America that he's going to have to develop some sort of changeup to keep those Latin hitters off bay. They will feast on those type of pitches. And as well, I am not a big fan of his breaking ball. That would be something else he's going to have to work on. But lots of room to measure there for Sasaki. He is 0-1 on the year. He's got opponents hitting .216 against him. I think the true test will be, is once he's been around the league one time, to see how he fares. We'll take a look at the players that are in the minor leagues before we wrap this one up, but we're just going to take ourselves another little time out. It is a short podcast as we are looking at the Japanese players who are currently playing in the Major League Baseball. We'll be back in just a moment. Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastdraftsbaseball.com. Respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season. Welcome back, everybody. We have four players that are stuck in the minor leagues right now. And that would be, well, start off with the Phillies' Koya Oyagi. Oyagi right now is with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs in the AAA. Some of his numbers look fairly decent, but you have to be concerned. I remember a couple of years ago when Sawamura, the pitcher for the Red Sox, ended up getting released. He's now back in Japan with the Chibolote Marines. One of the problems they were saying, just didn't throw enough strikes. And certainly out of the bullpen, that is something you want from your relievers. In 3 2/3 innings in the minors, Aogi has allowed a hit, a run earned, but he's walked four batters in those 3 2/3 innings. He has struck out six, and he's got an earned run average of 245. But keep your eyes on Iñaki. If he can pick up the command of his pitchers, he does provide a unique angle, as he is a sidewinder that can throw an array of different pitches. But will it play out at the big league level? We're just going to have to wait and see. So Iñaki is one. We move over to the Mariners, and it's Mount Fuji, Shintaro Fujinami. Well, Fujinami, we talked about him before. It's hard to walk away from somebody who throws 100 miles an hour. You just can't find those guys anywhere, or at least you can't walk down Main Street USA and find one. In six appearances in AAA Tacoma, Fujinami has a fluffed up ERA of 10.13 in five and a third innings of work. He's walked six and struck out eight. I hearken back to Bruce Rondon of the Detroit Tigers a few years ago. He was coming out of their bullpen and ended up in the Chicago White Sox camp. Same type of idea. He was 100 plus mile an hour fastball. Everybody drooled over it, but unfortunately for a player like Rondon, he had trouble with his command and control, walked too many batters, and ultimately led to his demise at the major league level. Our last one, as we look at, it's Shinsuke Ogasawara. Ogasawara, the Chinichi Dragon last year, who had himself a great season. He is in three starts in AAA. He's got himself some mixed results. He does have one win and one loss. Ogasawara ended up losing out in the spring training to Mitchell Parker for the fifth starter. And for Ogasawara, he is finding himself in AAA, trying to get himself prepared that in the event there's an injury, that he will be ready to go. But so far right now, he has not shown that that is the case. One would have to think he is going to be stuck for a while in the minor leagues. He has worked 15 innings in that tour since heading down. He has had some decent command. He has only walked four batters in that time. He struck out 12, but he has scattered 16 hits to the 64 batters that he has faced. The last one that we'll look at is a Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Red Sox is Masataki Yoshida. And for Yoshida, well, in extended spring training right now, he is kind of in no man's land. They've got about another week or so at the time of this recording to make a decision on Yoshida. The problem is with Masataki Yoshida is that where's he going to play in Boston? If he is predominantly a DH, that looks like it is Rafael Devers' job, with Alex Bregman holding down third base and an array of players, including Tristan Cassis, over at first. The outfield is pretty much shored up with Duran in left, Rafaela in center, and Willier Abreu in right. So they were hoping that maybe they could wait on a decision for Yoshida. They either have to trade him, they have to release him. He's got quite a hefty tag left on his contract, as he's got three more years to go. So we'll see. Now, a lot of teams would probably like to have Yoshida because he can swing the bat, and there's just not enough hitters in Major League Baseball. But certainly in that Red Sox lineup, where do you fit him in and where you put him? It becomes the multiple million-dollar question that the Red Sox are going to have to answer. So we'll know probably by next weekend where Yoshida will land, and certainly that will be a decision that the Red Sox will have to make. We'll be back in just a couple moments to wrap it up. And we appreciate you guys for jumping in with us on the Last Wraps Baseball YouTube channel or listening to us wherever you find your podcasts. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Wraps Baseball. Join our Facebook group called NPB Japan Baseball Report and connect with other fans of the Japanese game. If you aren't on Facebook, be sure to bookmark our YouTube channel for live events in the 2025 season. We wanted to acknowledge our listeners in this segment here before we wrap it up. It's been pretty impressive since we have been putting our pieces up onto the podcast areas. Of course, wherever you get your podcast, we have about 15 or 16 different places that you can download and listen. Tokyo, Japan is our leader. And we've also had, surprisingly, people in Edinburgh, Scotland come in and listen, all over the United States, with Los Angeles and Denver, Colorado leading the way. And surprisingly, there's been a number of places in Germany as well. Heilbronn, Germany has been checking in regularly, as well as Wuppertal or Munster. So we're happy to see that we have an audience that is more global here than it is on, per se, YouTube, where we do get the Japanese and the North American audience. So hopefully you guys that are listening in on our podcast can come on over and join us for some of the games that we like to do on YouTube, as we do like to provide our live commentary. What we have coming up for this week, well, we're going to have the Central League pitchers that we are going to focus on, the import pitchers as well. We're also going to do a little bit of a report on the NPB as well, and its current state in terms of where they're at. We're also going to do a little piece on where are the home runs gone and where is the power in the NPB, as it is missing right now. And then we will also look at some of the offensive players again who are in the import category, as well as the domestic players as well in the Japan baseball. That's what we're looking for coming up in the next few days. Hopefully you guys will be able to join us there as well, as we will give you all that information on our podcast. Thank you again for listening to the Last Wraps Baseball YouTube channel, where you can find the Japan Baseball Report. We will catch you again in just a couple of days.